Well, I'm Susie Judd, and I am, what is my title? It says by my office, I'm the teaching pastor here at Good News, and I'm not going to teach today, but I am here to speak to you today. You know, I like to teach, and you've heard me teach, and so many of you have. But today, I'm not really here to teach, and so that's not my purpose. Today, I'm here just to share some things with you the Lord's put on my heart. And my desire for today for you is that today would be a day of inspiration. That you'd be inspired as you think about the new year. And, you know, Matt and I differ in this way. Matt, really, he gets all geared up for the new year. He makes his goals. He changes out all his, you know, journals and his planners. And he gets all geared up for the new year. And I'm kind of like trying to have a new year just about every day, every couple of days. I'm having some new year thing happening. So I'm not quite, you know, the 1 year thing. But for some reason, this is in my heart today. It's been going on for a while. Something I've just been hearing on the inside, and I want to share it with you. But before I get to that, I just want to ask, for your sake, how many of you have something to write on or to write in? Maybe your phone or an iPad. If you don't, listen, if you don't have something to write on or to write in, like your phone or something, you're not going to hand this in. But I have paper and pens available for you. I want everybody in here to have something to write on or to write in for your sake. So if you don't have it, here's some folks here. There's some back here. You're going to need that. Here, Erica up here needs something. Jose. Hey, Jan, she needs something. Kelly. Some people, I write in my phone often, so I don't necessarily write on paper very often, but if you need some paper to write on. I know no one under 30 is raising their hand. They don't even know what paper and pens are, do they? Get that. Here, Sandra. Good to see you, Sandra. She needs some. Back here. Just make sure everybody's got that. It's one on the back row there. Everybody, if you still need some, lift your hand. And the reason that I want you to have this paper is because of what we just prayed. Because you didn't come here just to hear from a person. You came here to hear from God today. And He's in you. And I'm so thrilled that He speaks to us. We're not looking for some person to speak to us. We're looking to Him, and He's speaking to us. But the last few weeks, I've been hearing this on the inside of me, this right here, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. And I believe it's the Lord that's been speaking to me, and I just realized it's not just for me, it's for you too. And as we go into this new year, I want you to consider what if. You know, a lot of times people make resolutions. How many of you make resolutions? How many of you break resolutions? Okay, no, how many of you make resolutions? You know, and maybe you're a resolution maker. I you know, more power to you. But this year, instead of the usual resolutions that people sort of come up with, you know, like things about their money or about their health or, you know, all the things people are making resolutions about, I want you to kind of set those aside today, and I want you to really consider what we're going to talk about, not just what I say, but what God is going to say to you, because I want you to see, as you go into this new year, I want you to see that life, your life, can be different. And if you just limit that to what you usually do or how you usually think, then you're just going to have the same thing. But I want you to really today, I just want you to be open. That's why I'm not going to teach today. I just want you to be really open to God today. And I want you to think about this. What if? What if? Now, when the Lord started saying what if to me, at first I wasn't quite sure what if, what if. But pretty quickly I realized it was an invitation from Him. What if? And sort of a challenge. An exhortation, something that he's bringing forward, challenging me. And I'm familiar with this because I remember years ago, we were coming home from church one day. We were riding down I-20. We had just moved. I think we had just moved in this building. I'm not even sure. It might have even been before we moved here. And we're riding down I-20. I remember exactly where we were on I-20. On the way home, we live off exit 1 in South Carolina. And we were just about to get to our exit. And right as we were in that little stretch of road, on the inside of me, I heard something. Now, I have to tell you, when I heard that, I was in a bad way. Have any of y'all ever been in a bad way? I was in a bad way. I was really stressed. I was anxious. I was concerned about many things. Most of the things I was concerned about were about me and what was happening to me. I felt a lot of pressure. I was under, you know, a lot of duress, so to speak, about what was going on around me and what people were demanding of me. I felt a lot of pressure from the outside on me. Any of y'all ever had that? And you're just like, it was just a yucky feeling. And I knew on the inside, this is not life in Christ. But yet it was what I was experiencing. And as we rode up that little stretch of road and we're about to turn, it just hit me suddenly. And I said it out loud to Matt. I said, what if we just did what we wanted to do? Now, I don't mean that in a very selfish, self-centered way. I mean it, what if, I just saw it quickly, what if I lived from my heart instead of living to please people, instead of living to, you know, make people happy or to do what was expected or to meet some standard that I felt from the outside being pushed on me. If instead of just trying to come up to your expectations, what if I just lived from my heart and I just allowed the one who's within me to lead me in the way that I should, and I just followed that. It was a real, I mean, I'm telling you, it was a real breakthrough moment in my life. And when I had that thought, I just couldn't get away from it. What if we just live from our hearts? And there's a verse in a couple of verses in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36. I think we'll put those up. Ezekiel 36. And these verses are Ezekiel speaking about what is to come. It's God speaking to Ezekiel about the new covenant, the time we're in after Jesus, where we are. And this was God's plan. He said, I will give you a new heart. So you can't live from your heart if you are the old man before you have been given a new heart. But I've been born again and I have a new heart. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And if you've been born again this morning, you have a new heart. And a new spirit has been put within you. And he said this, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And I love that in verse 27 where he says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. It's not going to be through self-effort. It's not going to be through something being imposed on me from without. It's something from within. It's not because I'm meeting your standard or living up to some rules or trying to, you know, take a list and meet the demands of that list, which was frankly what I had been doing. And sadly, what a lot of believers are doing, they're just trying to live to a certain standard that has been put out there, whether it's been by the church or something they perceived or even the people in their lives. There's some kind of a standard that's been put out there, and we're just trying to serve that standard instead of living from this new heart that God has put within us. And that day, I said, no more. Now, have I been perfect with it? No, but I'm telling you, that brought me freedom. Not because, like, I'm just shoving you off and, you know, I don't care about you. But I know the one who lives within me is going to lead me to do what I really need to do, what really will be best. He leads me in the way of love. And he'll show me how to really love you as opposed to just meeting your expectations. Because often what you expect of me is not even what you need from me. And so it changed me, and it really propelled me down a different road in life. And I have to tell you, a lot of stress and anxiety and all of those things just left. Thank God. So I'm familiar with what if. And when God says, what if, I need to listen because he's trying to show me something different. Give me a new perspective. And that's what I'm wanting for you today. I'm wanting us all to go into this new year with a new perspective. What if? What if? Now, I don't have your what if, and I'm not giving you answers today and hope you didn't come here to get answers, really. I'm just wanting you to leave here with some questions today. That's really why I gave you the paper. I want you to write some questions on the paper. And I want you to take notes on what I'm telling you. I want you to have some of your own questions. I believe God's going to say, what if to you? What if? What if I live from my heart? What if? What if? Now, here's a what if. So I've been hearing these what ifs. It's been going on for a couple of months now. And here's a what if that's been ringing around inside of me. What if I was free? Earlier in our service, Christina talked about being free. Y'all, we know we're free in Christ. Isn't that part of the message of the gospel, the freedom that we've been given? Freedom from sin, freedom from the kingdom of darkness, freedom from our past, freedom from ourselves. But y'all, what if we were free? We know we're free, but what if freedom was a reality for us? What if we were really free, free from fear? Just that one thing. The Bible says that fear is what's kept people in bondage their whole life. Fear. It's bondage. What if you were free? What if you were free? And maybe you're thinking, I am free. Okay. I'm just thinking, what if I was free? What if I really experienced freedom? Freedom from what? Well, freedom from what I've allowed to entangle me. And the scripture warns us that even believers who have received the word and who've been bearing fruit, even people like us, that we can get caught up in the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, that we're susceptible to those things. What if I was free from all of that? What if I was free from following the course of this world? Because the course of this world is such a strong stream. It's such a strong current. And it's just, I'm telling you, you don't necessarily even realize you're in the middle of the course of this world until somehow or another God just pow, inside of you. And you're like, what am I been doing? What if we were free from the course of this world? What if we were free from letting our past define us? What if? What if? The past. What has my future got to do with my past? My future is not determined by the past. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. And the way the new creation works is I can call it new today. I don't have to go back to the day I called Jesus my Lord. Today is new. And my past, whether the past was 24 hours ago or 24 years ago, I'm free from the past. What about that? What if we really were free? I could just stop right there. What if we were free from the limitations? In this world, even the world has the glass ceiling, you know, the thing that you can't get up above. What if we were free from the limitations that we've put on our lives, that others have put on us, that you'll never be, you'll never have, you'll never do, you aren't, you're less than? What if we were free from all of that? You know, I don't know. What if we were free? John 8. I don't have a whole bunch of verses today. I have a couple more than Dan Muller had. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, be my disciples, you'll know the truth. The truth makes us free. I don't make myself free. I don't ask permission to be free. I abide in the word. I become his disciple. I know the truth. The truth makes me free. If I can abide in the word, I can be free. And that word abide, that's not a word we use much. Here it is. If I live in the word, I'll be his disciple. I'll be his follower. I'll know the reality of what really is, the truth. And knowing that frees me. What if you were free? All right? That's kind of where this whole thing started for me, is what if? What if I were free? And then around Thanksgiving, something interesting happened. At Thanksgiving, three of our four kids were able to come home. Harry wasn't able to come for a few more days. And we were there, and we had some of our other friends and family over for our Thanksgiving meal. And we just had a wonderful weekend, a time of being together. And then everybody left and went back to where they belong. And I was standing and getting dressed one day, and I'm looking in the mirror, and it just hit me in the face. What a treasure to be loved. To be loved. I just was overwhelmed in that moment of how precious it is to be loved. For someone to love me. Not because of what I do, not because I've earned it, not because I've, you know, met the standard that they set for me. They just value me. I'm precious to them. I'm loved. And I just was just standing, and I was just overwhelmed by this idea that I'm loved and how precious it is, and how so really there are a lot of people who've never experienced the kind of love that I'm talking about. They don't have love. They haven't been valued just for who they are, just the fact that they are, they're loved. Maybe even in spite of what they've done, they're loved. I know for me that's true. But in that moment, I also had this next thought, and I know it was the Lord speaking in me, and he said, what if you offered that love to other people unconditionally? And I thought, man, that is the greatest thing I could ever do, is offer to others this great gift that I have received. I am loved. And now I can offer that to someone else. I can love people. What if I love people with abandon? What if I love people unconditionally? And then I talked to a friend of mine who lives in another city, and this past year was a challenging one for her family because she has two young sons like Matt and I do. And her oldest of her two sons, who's in his early 20s, he had gotten married about 2 years ago. And then over the course of this past year, that marriage just unraveled. And the wife said to him, "I don't love you. I don't want you. Leave. Get out of my life." She was a good Christian girl. Her father was a pastor. And it just blindsided him. He didn't see it coming. And not only did she say, "Get out of my life," she said, "You get out of your life and leave me all of our stuff." And so he just left that city where they were living. And in fact, his parents came and got him and drove him 11 hours to where they are. And he just moved in with them. And she, my friend, this is her son, and she was hurting, man. She was hurting. She, you know, "Do it to me, but you do it to my kid. Now we're in a whole nother place." And that's where she was. And she's grappling with all of that, but she's also a strong believer and has a great faith in God. And she knew that she couldn't stay in that place. And so she's just, "God, help me. What can I do?" And in the midst of that pain she was feeling for her son, she was so angry with this girl and how she was treating her son. But somewhere in all of that, she realized what this girl is doing is no different than what I've been doing all my life. This girl is loving my son conditionally. She's saying, "If you meet my needs, if you do this, you do that, you do this other thing, you meet my standard, then maybe I'll accept you. And you haven't, so I don't accept you." And my friend said she realized that's the way she was living. And she thought about her relationship with her husband and how conditional she was with him. And so she sat with her husband and she began to pour out her heart. And the two of them together came up with this. And I just thought it was brilliant and wanted to share it with you today. She said, we came up with, we really believe it was from the Lord, the idea of no transactions. No transactions in our marriage. No transactions in our home. No transactions in our relationship. And what that means is, I don't do for you because you do for me. I don't take care of you because you take care of me. I don't meet your needs because you meet my needs. I don't look out for your best interest because I know you're looking out for mine. It's not about the transaction. It's not the tit for tat way that the world lives. It is, I love you. I serve you. I want the best for you. I believe the best about you. I'm offering that to you. And that's love unconditionally. No transactions. What if we love that way? And then Dan Muller showed up here a couple weeks ago, had this great challenge. What if we became love? If you missed the services, any of them, particularly the Friday night, that's when he really got into, the first service really got into challenging us about becoming love. You should listen to those. I was listening to that the other day, and this time I had the luxury of turning it off. You know, when he was here, I couldn't really turn him off, but I was like, yeah, I've had enough of that. No, it was, I'm only teasing. But he really was talking about that, but he put it this way. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes me nothing. What if I loved that way? What if I lived that way? What if that's the way I related to people? You owe me nothing. There went all my disappointment. There went your ability not to meet my expectations because I didn't have any to start with. You owe me nothing. And then I just remember what Jesus said. He said, oh man, how many times did we preach this in this past year? Love one another, even as I have loved you. That's that unconditional, no transactions kind of love. That you don't owe me anything kind of love. So what if we love that way? What if I love that way? What if I become love? Here's another what if that's come up in these last weeks. Now, you have your own, so that's why you got your paper. Don't be taking mine. What if I experienced life in the kingdom instead of life in this world? Boy, this has been in my heart so big. What if I lived in the kingdom of God instead of living in this world? Now you say, Susie, you live in this world. Yeah, I do live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. And the gospel makes it possible for me to have heaven here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about the whole earth, but this little part of earth right here. Kingdom. And then I remember what Romans says. Romans defines for us the characteristics of the kingdom. And there's three things that I always look for when I'm looking for the kingdom. And when I'm measuring whether I'm actually experiencing the kingdom, I look for these three things. Does anybody know what they are? Righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What if I lived in that instead of just living in the world? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I hate to keep referring to Dan Muller because some of you weren't here to hear him, but one of the things he talked about that really, you know, like really hit hard in the seat I was sitting in. He was talking about how we've been made righteous so that we don't have to be right. I don't know about you, but I really like to be right. That's something my flesh seeks, to be right. In fact, I was talking to one of my brothers who was here after the service, and I was saying, man, I'm sure that hit home for you too, because he and I are a lot alike, and I was recognizing that rightness that I think we got it from our family, honestly. We got it from our father, probably our mom too, but really from our father, that need to be right. I don't know, that was highly valued in my family when we were growing up, being right. And so I'm sharing that with him. I was saying, you know, man, that was just right there, right here, you know, in the gut, that need to be right. And he said, well, you know, I am right. I'm like, you didn't hear anything, did you, buddy? But the point of that is that my aim is not to be right. I am righteous in his sight. And because I'm righteous in his sight, I do not have to sell you on me. I don't have to justify myself. The fact that he has justified me, he's made me righteous, and I don't have to justify myself. And I'm going to tell you, people spend a lot of time justifying themselves. They spend a lot of time explaining themselves. There's a whole narrative that goes on in our heads that's explaining why we did the right thing and we're right and we're justified. We just got this whole thing going with ourselves. And y'all, none of that is necessary because we are righteous in his sight. And that's what we're longing for. That's what we so desperately are longing for, is to be righteous, to be right in his sight. But we're instead settling for trying to be right in other people's sight. But he's made me right with him. And so I don't have to fight to be right with you. Boy, and if I just live right there, I don't have to prove myself. People spend their whole life proving themselves. They're proving themselves to their father who died years ago. They're proving themselves to the guy that fired them years ago. They're proving themselves to the people who see their social media postings. I'm righteous. He's not going to ever love me one bit more. I can't do anything to make myself more acceptable to him. He's already stamped me approved, accepted in the beloved. Where else is there to be accepted? Righteousness. What if I lived in righteousness? What if I lived in peace? What if I experienced that, the reality of peace? Romans 14, 19. Two verses after it tells us the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy, it says these words, Romans 14, 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. In the message, it says, so let's agree to use all of our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. What if that is what I was pursuing? Peace, not being right. Peace, not fixing you. Peace, not making you treat me better. Edifying you, encouraging you, instead of trying somehow to get from you something I need that I can only get met in him. You can't meet that. We just sang, come to the river, taste and see the Lord is good. That is where our cup gets filled, not from you coming to give me something that somehow or another I'm never going to be able to get from you, but still I'm demanding it. And then there's joy. Interesting, because Matt and I were in Minnesota as well. We were up there for like 9 days, 8 or 9 days. We saw a lot of different people, and the two conversations that stuck out to me, both were about joy. One was my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is 57, and she's known the Lord for a long time, and is spiritually, you know, sound and mature in the things of God. And she said something to me that was very surprising. She said to me, I have to share with you what's happened in my life in the last months. She said, for the first time in my life, I've come to know joy. And I was a little bit surprised. And she said, I realized that I've never known real joy joy that sustains, joy that just is there, and it isn't dependent on the circumstances, it isn't dependent on how people are treating me, what's going on around me, whether I got money or don't, whether, you know, the job is, none of that, just joy. And she said, I decided earlier this year, she said, I decided that I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to live my life in joy. I'm going to enjoy life, living my life in His joy. And she said, I've never been in a place that I'm in. And I'm telling you, when she was just sharing that with me, I was thinking, man, where's that cup? I want to drink from that cup. But then I had the complete opposite experience with another person that I spoke to, a minister, who was sharing what he's been preaching. And he said he's been preaching for weeks on joy. So I'm listening. I'm excited because I'm immediately thinking of my sister-in-law and her sharing with me about joy. And he said, I've come to recognize in this time where I've been speaking about joy that I have never known real sustained joy in all my life, in all my time of being a Christian, being a minister. I've never had sustained, continuous joy in my life. And I thought, well, if that's what a minister can say, surely many believers could say that. And it challenged me because I'm thinking, if we don't live in righteousness, peace, and joy, what are we doing? Where are we living? And what we have really become prone to do, what we've learned to do is to reach out to get something, a fix, or an answer, or relief, as opposed to receiving what He's giving us, already has given us, righteousness, peace, and joy. And those three things are who we are in the kingdom. That's what's available. That's what sustains us. That's how we live in this world, but are not subject to this world. But what we do instead is we live, well, if this, we want to somehow take what God's given us and change everything around us so then we can be in joy, or then we can be in peace. But I just want to remind you, Jesus was in peace while the storms were raging. He didn't suddenly find peace after the sea calmed and the wind quit blowing. He was in peace already. I think we failed to figure that out. As many times as we read the story of Jesus calming the wind and the wave, we think somehow or another, then the peace came, but the reality was the peace was within Him. He just unleashed it on the wind and the wave. But He had the peace. I'm going to live in the kingdom. What if I lived? What if I lived in the kingdom? What if I lived and I really knew righteousness, peace, and joy every day? These are just, you know, my what ifs. I don't know what your what ifs are. Maybe I hope you're getting some. What if? What if? I want to read this from Psalm 16. We sort of sang along this line today. Psalm 16, verse 11. This is an awesome scripture. If you don't know the scripture, you should make note of that on your paper. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to remind you where you are today. We've been seated with Him. And where is He? He's at the right hand of God. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. We are at His right hand. And there are pleasures forevermore. We have the capacity. I have the capacity. You have the capacity to live in His presence. And in His presence is where joy is. That's the fullness of joy. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you've had at least one day off in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what kind of Christmas celebration you had. I don't know what, you know, you're planning to do for New Year's. I don't know. I haven't I've been out of town. I haven't been in touch with everybody. But I know this. If you want to experience joy, it's found in His presence. It's not found in gathering around the fire. It's not found in a movie. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found in the cookie jar. It's found in His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence. What if we lived in His presence? What if I lived in His presence? You know, one of my favorite devotions that I read is about the presence of God. And the opening statement in the preface is about the fact that Jesus looked at His disciples and He said to them, "Look, guys, I've been here with you, but I'm leaving." And then He said, "It's good for you." No. "It's good for you that I'm leaving, because when I leave, I'm sending somebody. And He'll live with you and abide with you forever." And that's what He said. And then He did what He said. He left. Acts chapter 1. Jesus departed. But you never read from the day Jesus ascended on high forward in the scripture. You never read one time where anyone ever complains that Jesus isn't here with us. You never read where anybody says, "Oh, if only Jesus were here. If He was here in the flesh, if Jesus was here, what could He do?" You never read that. You don't read it in any of Paul's writings. You don't read it anywhere in the New Testament where God's people were longing for the physical presence of Jesus. Do you know why? Because He was present with them. He was present. He was there by His Spirit. And you know, when we think about the presence of God, oftentimes it's not something that we're conscious of, not something that's on our mind. We come to church and maybe we think, "Oh yeah, we're going over there and maybe we'll get in God's presence." Y'all, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. The last words of Matthew, He said to us, the part of the Great Commission, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." He's always with us. He's here, whether we're aware of it or not. And that's what we sang. Let us become more aware. It's not Him. It's our awareness. What if we were aware of His presence? What if? What if my greatest pursuit this year? I don't know. Have any of y'all thought about anything for the coming year, which you might do? Made any big plans? I know some of you are in school. Some of you are trying to finish. Some of you are starting school. Some of you have projects. Some of you may be looking for a job. Some of you, you know, there's all kinds of things you might be pursuing. But what if our greatest pursuit, what if my greatest pursuit in this year was just to know Him? Knowing Him. What if that was it? And you know, John 17, those great chapters at the Last Supper when He said, "This is eternal life, to know Him." This is the deal, guys. What if? Here's one. What if I actually let Jesus be Lord of my life? What if that was it? What if my whole endeavor? What if I let Jesus be the Lord of my life? What does that even mean? Well, the Lord is the supreme authority. The Lord is the master. He is the one in charge. What if I let Him be Lord? What if I did what He said, both in His word and what He spoke to me by His Spirit? What if I actually let Jesus be my Lord instead of letting Him be my help, my rescue, my Savior, my escape pod? I'm so thankful He's my healer. I'm so thankful He's my provider. I'm so thankful that He's my protector. But y'all, what if we let Him be our Lord? And how awesome is it that he lets us choose whether he is Lord? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But the Lord, he took the iniquities of us all. Still, even now, when we still go our own way, he's still here. But what if I let him be Lord? How would that change my life? How would I be? What would life be like if Jesus was Lord? He said it and I did it. I see it and I obey. Which brings me to this. What if I actually trusted him enough to obey whatever he says? Because that's the deal with obedience. Obedience isn't just a sheer, you know, decision of your will. Obedience is a matter of faith. If I trust that he has my best interest at heart, if I trust that he sees the big picture, if I trust that he knows what's going on even when I don't, if I trust that he loves me more than I love myself, if I trust him, I'll do what he says. Obedience is strongly connected to our faith. Do we trust him? What if I trusted him enough to actually obey him? What if you trusted God enough to be obedient? Not pick and choose. Not decide, you know, if you really need some change. If you need a breakthrough, I got to get a breakthrough. I'm going to let him be Lord because I need a breakthrough. He's the Lord of the breakthrough, so I'm going to let him be the Lord. What if we let him be Lord? Before we need a breakthrough. After the breakthrough comes and goes, he's the master. Not my will, but your will be done. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what the Father says. What if we let him be Lord? Just a question. What if I live to fulfill God's desire instead of mine? Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, we handed out some paper here earlier. We could give everybody here a sheet of paper and say, what do you desire? And we could all fill up the page front and back with so many things. But what if we just shredded that and threw it away and we let his desire become our desire? Surely somewhere on your paper, something on there would reflect his desire. I believe that. But what if we just let his desire consume us? And it was, I'm living my life to fulfill his desire, not my own. And any time I talk about the desire of the Father, I think about 1 Timothy 2, which just plainly lays out what his desire is that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What if that was like a really big deal to me? What if that was like on my mind and in my heart and something I'm just consumed with? Which brings me to this. What if I lived from the perspective of eternity? Now, I'm going to just share something with you. It happened just yesterday. Matt and I went to a funeral yesterday. Now, funerals are very rarely enjoyable. But this particular funeral was brutal because it was for a 2-year-old little boy who died in a tragic accident. And to sit there and to see in front of you this little tiny coffin, the only thought that's appropriate is, they should never even have to make little bitty coffins like that. And you're sitting there and you're looking at this and you hear grief all around you. And you see the mother and the father, and the father even gets up to speak and just choking with grief. And even the grandparents. And you just see the family and so many people there. And the service was the best possible service I think it could have been for what we were dealing with. And then at the end of the service, they take the body out and the family goes out and there's a whole lot of people trailing out. We're just standing there. While we're standing there, while the family leaves, they're playing the song, I Can Only Imagine. And I think you know the song, I Can Only Imagine. And it's, you know, the story of what it must be like to be in heaven and what would it be like to see Jesus and how would we react. And I'm just standing there and all this is happening. And I just had a moment. I just had one of those God moments that we get sometimes when we really get to see from his perspective instead of ours. Because my perspective is, these parents, are they ever going to be able to even forget getting over it? Are they going to ever even be able to get through it? And I'm just, the overwhelming grief and pain, and it's just all so tangible at that moment. And then we're singing I Can Only Imagine, and it's playing. And I had that moment where suddenly I was lifted up above what was all around me, and I got an eternal perspective. And I realized death has been defeated. The resurrection is real. One of my favorite, oh my goodness, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm seeing all this around me and I'm thinking, in this moment I see from heaven's perspective, because I realized that there, this is terrible. This should never happen. This is just pure evil. But it doesn't win. It doesn't win. You know, I have learned to do this, and maybe this is something that would help you. I'll just share it with you. I've learned to do this. In moments like this, but in a whole lot of moments in my life when I'm disappointed, when failure is at hand, times of grief, when things are really troubling and I have no control over these things, I play fast forward. And I fast forward in my mind 100 years. Now, I'm kind of a future person anyway. This works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. I fast forward 100 years. And that's what I did standing there yesterday. I fast forward 100 years. Because you think 100 years, that's a long time. Y'all, I've lived 53 years, and one thing I've realized is it's just, whoo, flying by. Surely I'm not the only one that has seen it go, whoa, where did that go? I mean, I got 4 married kids, and I used to have one right here on my hip and one right here and 2 more crawling all over me. And now they're married. Whoa. 53 years has gone by pretty quick. 100 years is going to go by real fast. But in 100 years, everyone that I know and love, that's my determination, everyone that I know and love, and me included, we're going to be with Jesus. Ever we're going to be with the Lord. And whatever it is that is right now swallowing me alive, it's going to not even be a memory. Everything that's stressing me and everything that is somehow or another just making my life a living hell at this moment, it'll all be gone. And forever we will be with the Lord. That's the reality. Now that's worth thinking about every day. That's the perspective. See, God has a much different perspective on all this than me and you do. And he's looking down. He's like, I know you're really upset today, but you just need to see something different. You need to see the big picture here. You need to see death. It has no more sting. I've triumphed over that. And there is life eternal. Pleasures at his right hand forevermore. We just read that. That's the big picture. That's how we, y'all, if we just, what if we just lived just a little bit from that perspective. I don't know, you know, like what it is that just gets you all torn up and causes you to have such bad days. Years. But y'all, 100 years from now, and for eternity, you're going to be with Jesus. And if you're like me, and you've determined that me and all those that I love, and as many people, even those I don't know, that I can, because I'm making his desires my desires, we're all then going to be in the presence of the Lord. So it'll be me, but you'll be there too. 100 years from now, all of us, everybody in this room, we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be in his presence. Y'all, you're going to be looking good. I'm going to know you with no worry. I'm going to know you with no doubt, no, all of those things that keep you from being who you really are, all those things are going to be gone. But y'all, we have access to that way of living today. If we'll have his perspective. And this is my final what if. I know I've gone a little long, but I do that. Y'all, this is my last one. Maybe you've gotten one already. What if we went all in? What if we went all in? You know what I mean? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, what if we went all in? Like, I mean, just all this stuff that we stand up here and say, all that stuff you read on those pages, all that stuff you hear, all that stuff you know on the inside, what if we went all in? I don't mean just try to make it to the next week. I don't mean we just try to find a little better way to live. I mean, what if we went all in? Drew, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, all in. You know, I hesitate to mention this for a number of reasons, but it's been a big part of my what if. All in. A few days before Thanksgiving, there's a young man, John Allen Chow. He's an ORU grad. Matt and I graduated from ORU. A number of our kids did. He's a young man that I never met personally, but I know his family. And several of my kids knew him personally. I knew about him. I'd heard about him for a long time. This young man is a teenager. He got a vision for reaching the most unreached people on the earth. And he found out there was a little island in the Indian Ocean, Sentinel Island, and that there were people there that had never heard the gospel. In fact, those people, not only had they never heard the gospel, they had never lived among other people. They were an untouched people group. You may have heard about this in the news. And he prepared for a number of years. And it's come out since, all the preparation that he put into it. And he went and through a series of events, got some fishermen to take him close to the island. Then he got in a little kayak and went ashore. And over the course of a couple of days, he made contact with these people and he ended up dying. Did anybody hear about this? It was all in the news. For days. A lot of people in the world were really, a lot of people in the Christian community were really, really down. And I, you know, we could talk about it. There's a lot that could be said. But the point is, he went all in. As a teenage guy, he heard about these people and he had it in his heart. Somebody's got to go to the uttermost. Somebody's got to go to the ends of the earth. Somebody's got to go after the people who have no chance of hearing, no contact, no place. And he felt in his heart, his conviction was that he was the one to go. And he trained. He became a wilderness EMT. He graduated from ORU, studied things that would help prepare him for that. He went to missions training. He did all the things he could. He took antibiotics to prepare his body to make contact with this unreached people, quarantined himself, studied language. His idea was he was going to go there and live among those people, cut off contact with the outside world and live among those people and learn their language with the purpose of sharing Jesus and the gospel to them. Because he had the conviction that if people die dead in their trespasses and sins, that they won't know the true and living God. He had the conviction that life wasn't worth living unless you were obedient to the true and the living God. He actually went all in. You know, I look at it and there's a lot of thoughts, you know, maybe that was a waste of a good man. Maybe that was, I don't know. But one thing I'm going to say, he went all in. And to be honest, I don't know a lot of people going all in these days. Now, I hope going all in doesn't mean you're going to end up on the end of an arrow. But y'all, if nothing else, his life inspires me. I got to go all in. Why do you get to live your cushy life, but yet other people, the people who are responsible for me and you even hearing the truth that we know, they went all in. You and me. We're obligated to go all in. Somebody went on all in for me, for you. We wouldn't even have these scriptures we've read today. We wouldn't even know the gospel that we know if somebody didn't go all in. I want to remind you that all of those who walked with Jesus, they all died the martyr's death. You know, we've worked with people in other nations, and it's different in other nations. And friends of friends have been martyred, but never someone that I was this connected to. What if you went all in? What if we went all in? It's easy to sit here this morning and go, yes, praise Jesus, I'm going all in. I don't know. What if you went all in? But my wife, but my kids, but my job, but my neighbors, but my mama. What if you went all in? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us. Thank you, Father, that you love us and that we are right in your sight. We're acceptable to you, that you've justified us. There's nothing we do to make ourselves more acceptable to you. But Father, with all that you've given us, all you've so greatly bestowed upon us comes responsibility. We are greatly, greatly blessed. But your heart is that we would be a blessing. And Father, I pray for us all today that as we step into this new year, that we would have the courage to ask ourselves some questions. What if? What if? And I pray, Father, that you help form within each of us just the right question. What if? You know where we are. You know what situations we're in. You know where we are with Christ being formed within us, what is the question? What if? What if? Life can be radically different for every one of us. We listen to you. Follow what you're saying. Ask ourselves and let you ask within us, what if? What if we had an eternal perspective? What if we saw that all that really matters is what heaven is consumed with? It's easy, Father, for us to say, oh, we're going to seek you first in this new year. Oh, we're going to put aside our own desires and we're going to lay it down. That's easy, Father, that's easy for us to say. But we need more than just saying. We need a change, Father, in the way we see. So that's what I ask this morning. I ask for you to show us. Unveil by your Spirit. Reveal to us a new way of seeing, a new way of being, a new way of living, a new way of doing. And for those who are bold, Father, I pray for those who dare that we'd go all in. Help us. In Jesus' name.